5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Job 36:11, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. Job 36:11. Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Isaiah 26:3. And 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5:7. Would you open your Bibles this evening, please, to Galatians chapter 4, verse 5. Galatians chapter 4, verse 5. Last Sunday, we studied 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3. In the first session, we studied 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27. In the second session, and tonight we go to Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. I'm going to ask you this evening, if you will, to turn to the fourth chapter of the book of Galatians. In just a few moments, we'll begin our reading there. We're going to begin with verse 1 and read then down through verse 5. We're here tonight to study again God's Word. We realize the importance of being in harmony and in proper relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. We all understand the fact that we cannot properly study God's Word if our hearts are not in tune. And for that reason, we spend a few moments in prayer to be sure that we're in fellowship with our Savior Jesus Christ. May we pray together, please. Tonight, Father, we're thankful for another opportunity to study Thy Word. Thy Word is a lamp to our feet, a light to our pathway. We realize the importance of hiding God's Word in our hearts so we might not be in disobedience to Your magnificent plan. We're thankful this evening that we're Your children, saved by Your matchless grace. We have the assurance that our eternal home is heaven. One day we shall leave this life. And when that happens, we will be absent from this body and we'll be at home with our Savior Jesus Christ. We have that assurance not based upon our goodness, not based upon anything we've done, but totally based upon the fact that God has given the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. We've accepted Him. He's accepted us. And we have that assurance of eternity with Him. And so we are indeed grateful tonight for every blessing that You've given us. We're thankful for the magnificent truth of regeneration. We're thankful for the magnificent subject of justification, sanctification, and also the magnificent subject which we study tonight, the subject of adoption. And so we're thankful for the privilege of being here. We do pray again tonight for our military men and women. We pray for those of our church family who have burdens and heartaches and difficulties. There are those who are physically ill, and we pray for them. We pray for our missionaries. We pray for our preachers in Pakistan. We pray especially that You will guide us in all that we do, that we may be able to support and help these who are giving out the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. And we thank You again for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Galatians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. What I'm saying is that as long as the heir is a child, he is no different from a slave, although he owns the whole estate. He is subject to guardians and trustees until the time set by his father. So also when we were children, we were in slavery under the basic principles of the world. But when the time had fully come, God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under law, verse 5, to redeem those under law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. I'm going to begin tonight by putting some information on the screen for you by way of this transparency, giving you these subjects. The first subject is the subject regeneration. The second subject is the subject of justification. The third subject is the subject of sanctification. And the fourth subject is the subject of adoption. If you'll look carefully, you'll be able to see that we have an emphasis here upon the change that takes place in relationship to each one of these great biblical concepts. Regeneration is a change of nature. Justification is a change of standing. Sanctification is a change in character. Adoption is a change in position. While you're looking at that, I want to talk about it just a few moments. First of all of us are fully aware of the subject of regeneration. Regeneration, of course, takes place when a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. God works that magnificent miracle of regeneration, and that miracle of regeneration sets up a new home, a new receptacle in the individual's life, so that there can be the imputation of God's righteousness. We've studied that so many times, it is absolutely not essential now for me to recapitulate, other than to just remind you of what regeneration is. Regeneration is actually salvation. It is the time when you and I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So there's a change of nature. Regeneration begins the new life in the soul. Justification deals with a new attitude that God has toward us and our attitude toward God. So let's spend just a moment there looking at the second word that you see on the screen. It is the word justification. It's a change of our standing. Justification deals with the new attitude that God has toward us and our attitude toward God. Most of us remember that we've studied oftentimes the subject of sanctification. Sanctification deals with our position in Christ, our advance in Christ, and what takes place ultimately when we leave this life and we're in the presence of God throughout eternity. We call that positional sanctification, experiential sanctification, and ultimate sanctification. All of you are familiar, I'm sure, with those three words. I'll repeat again, positional sanctification simply means the point when you and I accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. He accepted us. He placed us into the family of God. We became heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That's our position in Christ, positional sanctification. Experiential sanctification means that you and I, while we're on this earth, from the time that we're born into God's kingdom until the time God calls us home or the rapture takes place, it's a time when we have on the earth to advance. This is a great challenge for all of us as believers, and you and I must realize how important it is for us to grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ. So, we have regeneration, change of nature, justification, change of standing, sanctification, change of character, and then adoption, which is emphasized by the passage of Scripture which we are going to be studying tonight. Adoption is our change in position. I trust that you've had time now to look at these words and put them down. We're not going to leave them here any longer other than just let me go over it one more time. Regeneration, change of nature. Justification, change of standing. Sanctification, change in character. Adoption, change in position. Now that takes us then to our passage of Scripture, which is Galatians chapter 4, verse 5. This Scripture has not been given to you in past days, and so this is new, a new verse on the screen. So we're going to look at it now, Galatians chapter 4, verse 5. What's interesting to me is that this verse says, in order that the ones under law he might redeem, in order that the adoption of sons we might receive. We're going to take a few moments to exegete this passage of Scripture, let you look at these words that are on the screen before you. Let me remind you that the first three words in the English translation is a translation of one Greek word there. It's the word hina, which is H-I-N-A. The very first word that you see on the screen in the Greek is "in order that," or the one Greek word, "hina." We have a rough breathing mark there at the beginning, which lets us know that it's an H. So it's H-I-N-A, translated, "in order that." The next word is an article. It is the word tous, T-O-U-S, and we've translated it for you, "the ones," "in order that," "the ones." The next word is a preposition in the second line there. It is a rough breathing mark, and "you," "p-o," "hupo," a preposition which means "under." And then there's the word "nomon," which is from "nomos," N-O-M-O-S, and that's the word "law." In order that the ones under the law. Then we come to our verb, which "he might redeem." You'll notice the way that we've illustrated the word for you. It is the aorist active subjunctive, third person singular of ex agorizo, which is E-X-Z-A-G-O-R-A-Z-O. We're not going to spend a lot of time there on the Greek other than to point out that this emphasizes at a point of time. We emphasize here the aorist tense, the active voice, the subject produces the action, and then the subjunctive mood is the mood of potentiality, that he might redeem. And we stop there to point out the fact that God does not redeem every individual simply because every individual does not accept God's magnificent plan of redemption. That's the reason why this is a subjunctive mood rather than an indicative mood. And this doesn't mean that God doesn't care for everyone. It doesn't mean that God didn't give His Son to die on the cross for everyone. It does mean, though, that God does not force or coerce anyone to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So that's the reason why this verb is in the subjunctive mood. In order that the ones under the law, the ones outside of salvation by grace, he might redeem. Then notice also we have another word, the same as this one here, which is hina, H-I-N-A, in order that. Then we have the beautiful word that you have on the back of your bulletin. So if you look at the back of your bulletin, you're going to see the word adoption. Now, I'm going to take time to let you see that again. I will put that transparency back on the screen. We'll come back to this one in a few moments. But if you'll remember, last Sunday we looked at 1 Corinthians 15:3 in the first session, 1 Corinthians 15:11 in the second session, and then we pointed out that on Wednesday night we will be looking at Galatians 4:5. And I only put a part of the verse on the transparency on the back of the bulletin. It says, "in order that we might receive the adoption." Let me tear that word up for you for just a moment to let you see how great it is. The first part of the word, well, actually it is the word huiothesia, which is H-U-I-O-T-H-E-S-I-A. If you're looking at the back of your bulletin, let me ask you to do me a favor. Take your pen and scratch off that, what looks like a V. In the Greek, that's an N. And so, mark that off. Now, that will leave you what the word is in the root way. H-U-I-O. And that's the word huios, which comes from huios, which means sun. And then, thesia, T-H-E-S-I-A, if you're following along there carefully, is the word which means to place or to put. And so we have an emphasis then on the word for adoption, or the word which emphasizes to place or to put. And that's the reason why, if you go back to the transparency I gave you a few moments ago, adoption means a change in position. I'm trying to lay a foundation so I can give you some points in a few moments, but I want you to begin to see the meaning of the word adoption. Now, I'm going to go back to the passage of Scripture, which we have looked at just a few moments ago in Galatians chapter 15, no, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 5. I want you to be sure that you're able to see this. I'm sure that some of you from where you're sitting may not be able to see it all that well, but let me see if I can explain it to you. In order that the ones under the law, he might redeem. And that again is a subjunctive mood which emphasizes potentiality. Some will trust him, some will not. Those who trust him, he will save. In order that, then, he will bring them into a position known as we are phasia, or being adopted into the family of God. Now, let's go to the last verb quickly, and then we'll begin to draw some conclusions and let you see it. It says, the adoption of sons. That's the word we are phasia. And then we have again another verb. This time, it is the word which means receive, and it's apolambano, which is an aorist active subjunctive, first person plural of that particular word that we might receive. Now, that's a little technical, I know, but I wanted you to be able to see that we're looking tonight at the Greek word, which means adoption. I've already said regeneration begins the new life in the soul. You ought to have that down as the first point of an introduction. Justification deals with the new attitude of God toward that soul and the soul toward God. Adoption admits man into the family of God, which means that we're placed in a magnificent position of being adopted into his family. What I've asked you to do now is to go to John chapter 1, and let's look at verses 12 and 13. John chapter 1, verse 12. Well, let me back up a little bit to let you see what it says in verse 10. Jesus Christ, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. This is the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Then verse 12, yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And the emphasis there is that they were adopted into his family. In adoption, then, the believer receives a place as an adult son. Now, that's a point that I want you to write somewhere into your thinking or on paper. In adoption, the believer receives a place as an adult son. In Galatians chapter 4, we've already looked at these verses, but I repeat, the very first verse says, I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, and the word child there in Galatians 4:1 is the word napios. Napios means a little nursing baby. Now I say that the heir, as long as he's a child, differeth nothing from a servant, although he is Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors under the time appointed of the Father. Then in verse 3 of Galatians 4, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Verse 5, which you see on the screen, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you're sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, verse 7, thou art no more a servant. The word servant here is the Greek word doulos, or slave. You're no longer a slave or a servant, but you're a son, a weos. And if a son, then you're an heir of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'd like for you to do tonight is to follow me as I tell a little story. I want you to see that in Paul's day, it was a Roman custom that a child was placed under slaves, under teachers, during childhood. At the age of 14, the child graduated from a period of discipline and was recognized as an adult member of the family. The ceremony for this recognition was called the Weathesia, the word that I've given you here tonight. It's found in Galatians 4:5, the verse you see on the screen. It is found also in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Here's something that took place. At that ceremony, the father would come in with a robe over his arm and a ring in his hand. The robe was called a toga virilis. The father would say, "I, your father, now recognize you as an adult member of this family." Now get the picture. Here's the dad coming in with a robe, with a ring, and he says to this young man, 14 years of age, "I, your father, now recognize you as an adult member of this family." He would shake the hand or the arm, and then he would put the robe upon that young man. He was then free to function as an adult citizen in the Roman world. The Apostle Paul takes this custom and describes our spiritual adoption into God's magnificent family. What I want us tonight to be able to see how magnificent and wonderful and great this is. I do not want you to see yourself as a doulos, a slave. I want you to see yourself as having been adopted into God's magnificent family. If someone were to ask you, "Are you a Christian?" you would say, "Yes, I am." But I'm going to ask you, what do you mean by being a Christian? What does the word Christian mean? You and I wear that title, Christian. What does it mean? It means that we are the recipients of God's imputed righteousness. It means that we have accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. It means that we have the assurance that one day we're going to be with our Lord in heaven forever and ever. It means that we have been changed by His matchless grace. We're Christians, and that emphasizes the fact that we are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing that I've done for you tonight is to define adoption. The second thing that I want to do is emphasize, what does it mean? What is the meaning of adoption? Adoption means the placing of a son. It's a legal metaphor, as regeneration is a physical one. It is a Roman work, hardly used among Jews. Adoption means then the taking by one man of the son of another to be his son. Most of us are familiar with the word adoption. Adoption means the taking by one man of the son of another to be his son, so that that son has the same position and all the advantages of the son by birth. One of these sons is a son by birth, the other is a son by adoption. The son by adoption has all the rights and privileges of the son, that is, the son by birth. Now, here's what we need to see. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, the scripture says, "We received the spirit of sonship." We received the spirit of sonship. Ephesians 1:5 says that in love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ. That's Ephesians 1:5. In Romans chapter 9, verse 4, it says that we are adopted as sons. So all of these magnificent verses emphasize the fact that we are adopted into God's family. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans, we have an emphasis upon groaning. Now, as I mentioned that word groan, you're going to say, "Oh, I remember that." The scripture emphasized the fact that nature is groaning for the day of redemption. There's an emphasis upon the fact in that scripture that the believer, as an adult believer, is groaning for that time when he will leave this life and be the recipient of a glorified spiritual body. And then it goes down to talk about another groaning. Do you remember what it is? It's the groaning of the Holy Spirit. And in that passage of Scripture, it says that there will be times in your life and mine when we will find ourselves in difficulty and burdens and trials and tests, when we will not know how to pray as we ought. But the Scripture says when that takes place, the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So we have an emphasis on the groaning of nature, the groaning of the believer who's advanced, and the groaning of the Holy Spirit. All having to do here with an emphasis upon what takes place when the believer realizes that he's adopted into God's family. The baptism of the Holy Spirit takes place at the moment of salvation, at which the child of God is free to operate as an adult heavenly citizen. Now I'm going to read that sentence again because you need to hear it. The baptism of the Holy Spirit takes place at the moment of salvation, at which time the child of God is free to operate as an adult heavenly citizen. You remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus in John 3:3? Except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In John 3:7, you must be born again. In Galatians 3:26, you are sons through faith. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but according to His grace He saved us. In other words, it's not anything that you and I have done. In a certain sense, then, adoption could be described as eternal in nature. Ephesians 1:4-5. He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. All of us here tonight are aware of the fact that the incarnation was foreordained. It took place in time. Let me stop and let you see what I just said. There was a point of time when the Virgin received the implantation of the Spirit of God. And there's the virgin conception, and then the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. That we call the incarnation, the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. The incarnation was foreordained, and it took place in time. The Scripture emphasizes the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, but actually Jesus Christ died at the cross. So we have an emphasis in the Old Testament of all of those magnificent stories and pictures of the fact that there would be a time when that pure, spotless, impeccable Son of God would go to the cross and die for the sins of the world. Why mention this eternal aspect of adoption? I'll tell you why. To exclude anything that mankind could do. Salvation had its origin solely in the grace of God, no doubt about it. Now, we've just talked about adoption and how, but let me ask you, what about the when of adoption? It takes place the moment that a person believes. In 1 John 3:2, it says, now are we the sons of God. Galatians 3:26, we're saved through faith. In John 1:12, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those who believe on His name. Now, what have we done tonight so far? We've talked about adoption, defined it. We've asked the question, what is the meaning of adoption? Point two. Number three, the how of adoption. And then four, the when of adoption. But let's go to number five now. What about the results? The scripture that you see on the screen, Galatians 4:5, tells us that we are sons and we are the recipients of having been placed into a magnificent family. So Galatians 4:5 and Romans 8:15 tell us that now we've been placed into God's family. We're heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and we're free to serve Him. And we can take advantage of all that He's provided for us. I put in my notes a little statement. Before salvation, we're on the outside of the prison house of sin. But when we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, He came in, and the Scripture says, I in you, and you in me. In other words, we received freedom. He took us out of the prison house of sin. And this freedom makes it possible now for us to have a joyful, contented, magnificent relationship with Him. And that results in victory and a fruitful spiritual life. That brings me to point 6, the blessings of adoption. Now, I have to tell you that I've written a list of scriptures down. I'm going to give you these. I'm going to try to quote some of them, but I want to let you write the references. When I think in terms of the fact that you and I are members of God's family, adopted into His family, I think we have a clear picture now of what it's like to be adopted. We have all the rights and privileges, and I'm sure that you're able to see that we're objects, number one, of His peculiar love. The blessings of adoption, number one, we're objects of His love. In John 17:23, and I'll just give you these verses, Jesus said, I want you to know something. Now that you've believed, I am in you, and you are in me. Now, I don't know how difficult that is for you and me to understand, but I do want you to see that when you and I accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, in the wonderful, magnificent gift of regeneration, when God worked that miracle and changed the environment, knowing that the environment before that regeneration was an environment into which God had absolutely no way of getting in there. Because God and depravity, sin, doesn't blend. And that's the way you and I are before salvation. Depraved, fallen, yes, that's right. But when we accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and that miracle of regeneration took place, then the environment was changed. And that was when Jesus said, I've come in. Now, I think it's wonderful for you and me to stop for a little bit and think about that. Jesus lives within. If I could put this up as your house and Jesus being in your house, would you invite Him into all of your house, or would you shut up some of the rooms and say, you're welcome in this room, but you're not welcome in this room? That's the way it is with some of us in our lives. We would welcome Him into some areas of our life, but we really would not prefer for Him to get in and see some of the other activities in some of those other rooms of our life. But I want you to know that whether we invite Him in there or not, He knows what all is going on in every room of your house. We are objects of God's love, I in you, and you in me. The second thing that I notice about the blessings of adoption is we're objects of His care. In Luke 12, consider the lilies. Most of us remember that passage of Scripture. Consider the lilies. They don't toil and they don't do this and they don't do that. And yet God takes care. When I look out the window and I see these magnificent little birds pecking away out there, and I realize that when the sun goes down and things get dark, they're not out there anymore. Where do they go? What do they do? When it's freezing, Where do they go? And what do they do? And God takes care of them. I'm sure that many of you know that we have a little fish pond, and that fish pond has a couple of fish. And it was interesting when the freeze came that that water was frozen over, and I just knew that those two little fish were frozen and that they would probably be my responsibility to throw them away or dig a hole and bury them. But when it was all said and done, and I went out there and lifted that ice off of that water, they were swimming around in there. We're objects of our Father's care. We also have a family name. 1 John 3:1. Ephesians 3:14. The scripture says the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. In 1 John 3:1, we're told that love is lavished upon us and we're called the children of God. How magnificent. One of the blessings of being adopted into the family is that we're objects of His peculiar love. Secondly, we're objects of His care. Thirdly, we have the family name. Fourthly, we have the family likeness. The scripture says in Romans 3:29, God is the God of Jews, the God of the Gentiles. Also, we have family love. John 13:35, 1 John 3:14. I don't know whether I should tell you this or not, but being a member of the family, not only do we have His love and care, but we also have His chastisement. Hebrews 12:5. He whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Not only does He chasten, but He chastises, He scourges those whom He receives. The scripture says, if ye be without chastisement, wherein all are partakers, then are ye illegitimate and not sons. What that scripture teaches us in Hebrews 12:5 through 11 is that God loves us so much that He will spank us if we need it. Another thing is we have His comfort. He comforts us. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 4 says, He comforts us in all of our troubles. Another passage of scripture in Isaiah 66:13 says, as a mother comforts a child, I, God says, will comfort you. There's no doubt about His comfort. Well, let's go to one other point, number 7. You and I must realize that there are some evidences of adoption. One of the evidences is that we are led by the Spirit of God. We're led by the Spirit of God. That's revealed to us in Galatians 5:18, where it says, led by the Spirit, because we're not under the law. Romans 8:4 also. What is another manifestation and evidence of being adopted into God's family? We have what we call a childlike confidence in God. A childlike confidence in God. And that we find on this scripture, Galatians 4:5. In order that the ones under the law He might redeem, in order that the adoption of sons we might receive. Tonight, you and I must realize how fantastic and wonderful it is to be a member of God's family. I want to say one other thing. What about the future of being a member of God's family? Because we've been adopted into the family, the scripture says in Romans 8:17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified with Him. What this tells us is that we are assured of ultimate sanctification. We are assured of a resurrection body. We are assured of a time when we will have no more a sinful nature, and we will have eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. To know Jesus is to have all that He's promised, And that includes the fact that we are adopted into His magnificent family. Let me go back now to what we said at the very beginning. I'm going to put this on the screen one more time, and I want you to see it. Regeneration is a change of nature. Justification is a change of standing. Sanctification is a change in character. Adoption is a change in our position. The greatest thing that could happen to any person is to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. Be regenerated. Justification changes that standing. Sanctification changes our character, which simply means that every day that we live, we have the responsibility of advancing. Positional sanctification, yes, that's salvation. Experiential sanctification, yes, that's advancing, growing daily. Ultimate sanctification, that means one of these days we will leave this life, we'll be absent from this body, we'll be in His presence forever and ever. God has given to us magnificent blessings, and we can be so thankful for everything that He's done and is doing for us. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful this evening for the fact that we are members of Your family, heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're thankful that we've been adopted into that magnificent family. We are creatures that have been transformed, magnificently transformed, not based upon anything that we've done, but totally based upon the work of the Spirit of God in regeneration, making it possible for us to be a member of that magnificent family, the family of God. Help us to know tonight that as a member of that family, we have a heavy responsibility. The responsibility is for us to see that Christ really lives in us, and we are in Him. And we have the responsibility of fulfilling the plan and design which You have for us. We do not have long at the longest on this earth, no matter how long we live. If we should live to be 100 or more, it's a very brief time compared to eternity. And so help us to realize that from the time of our new birth until the time that You choose to take us home, that we have the responsibility of taking advantage of every opportunity to love and respond properly to the person of Jesus Christ. There are those who hear this message by way of the internet who have never accepted You. We pray that they will realize this evening how important it is to believe, to accept Jesus Christ, knowing that there's only one way of salvation, and that way is through Jesus Christ. We're thankful that the Scripture says, "But as many as received Him, Christ, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name." We pray for them tonight, for those who do not know You, that they will see their need and accept You. And help each one of us in this auditorium tonight to realize how grateful we should be that we've been placed as a member of that royal family. We've been adopted into that family. And now we realize that we have all the rights and privileges of anyone because we're members of that magnificent royal family. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.